Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Welcome back. That was fantastic to meet the cast of that new TV show, which you definitely have to go and see, These Sacred Vows on RTÉ1, 9:30, Sunday, 1st of February. Don't be missing it. Lots of your messages coming in, 51551. We're talking about pets and why we give them the names we do. Our dog is called Bowie, after David Bowie, because he has two different coloured eyes. I like it. I love when you see, like, sometimes you see sheepdogs with those really eyes are different colours, and I just absolutely love border collies. They're fantastic. My dog is called Nancy, after my gorgeous auntie, says somebody. And just listening to your show, and now I wanted to share with you that our sheepdog is, yes, Fenton. He was about 6 months old when we got him, and became obvious when his existing name was Fenton. We kept the name, although I don't think he knew how to respond to his name. He was a very lively young dog, and he wasn't let out to the field for a few years, but a very loving dog. Fenton is now a fully qualified working dog, and we love him, says Moira. Well, thank you so much. 51551, and shout out to Fenton. Well, our next guest went from chasing not dogs but big waves to big turnips. A Moy Hill farm in Clare is an organic farm that lives by the terms respectful use of the countryside. The hands that turn the soil, though, belong to an unexpected person, Fergal Smith, who travelled the world as a professional surfer. Offering food, internships and community, Fergal is now on his farm near Lahinch Beach in Clare, because a farmer never rests, but he has found the time to join me on the line. How are you, Fergal?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's Moy Hill farm today?
It's good. The sun is shining for a brief moment anyway down here.
That's nice to hear. It's not under 3 foot of water.
No, yeah, it's been a bit up and down, but that's the wintertime in Ireland.
Yeah, it's tough for farmers. I mean, I'm absolutely no expert, and I will openly admit that I get a lot of my farming knowledge from Jeremy Clarkson's farm on TV. But I would guess there are so many challenges, and the weather is definitely one of them. What's the toughest part of dealing with weather when you are working on a farm?
Yeah, well, certainly in horticulture, and we're selling a lot of veg every day, and we're harvesting. You know, the weather affects everything, so you know there's good days and there's bad days, and you really don't get a choice, and you have to just you have to adapt, and you just have to work around it, and you really can't get upset about it, because that's not going to help anything.
In terms of the kind of weather we've been having and all that rain, does that affect your potential crop output this year?
Well, it's, you know, it is the middle of winter, so there isn't the same amount of crops outside or anything, and we're in the tunnels a lot of the time at this time of year. But it just makes the land wet, so that's obviously not great for, we obviously in Ireland, certainly on our side of the country, we generally have plenty of moisture, so we don't need any more. And so every bit of downpour doesn't make it any easier. But we're a while off yet before we're getting started again this spring.
Yeah, good. Take us back to your surfing days.
Yeah, well, I grew up on a farm, and then my parents' kind of getaway from the farm was we went to Achill Island on weekends to kind of, you know, get off the farm for the weekend. And yeah, that my dad started surfing, and me and my brother kind of robbed the board off him and got hooked. And that was it then, and pestered my parents for years and years to drag us out to the beach. And I suppose I got the bug and had the dream of chasing waves around the world and being a professional surfer of sorts, and I managed to do that. So I kind of pursued that all the way, and
well, you did it for 6 years. What was your favorite place on the planet to be surfing?
My favorite place was Tahiti. I used to love going to Tahiti every year, and so I'd go. Generally, I'd leave for our summers, and I'd go to the Southern Hemisphere, and then I'd be in Australia, and then I'd go to Tahiti and Fiji and places like this, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Obviously, the farming bug came and grabbed you again. How did you end up particularly in Clare?
Well, I'd already moved to Clare from Mayo for the waves. And then I was traveling out of Clare around the world and stuff. And then, yeah, I had the dawning realization that I didn't want to, yeah, just live my life on the waves indefinitely. I wanted to come back to land and do something. And yeah, I always enjoyed farming. I love being outside. And the thing about Clare is the coastline is a lot kind of smaller, whereas in Mayo, there's so much driving to get to the sea. And so I love the idea of starting to farm in Clare, because at least then I could still hop down to the coast at the end of the day. And so that's the kind of the reason why I settled in Clare.
I guess it's an unusual mix. It's not one you kind of think of, farming and surfing. You know, the image of the farmer sort of parking up the tractor and then heading for the beach. And it's a lovely mix.
It is. And what I say to farmers who maybe don't quite, understand it is, as farmers, you spend your whole day generally carrying stuff and heavy stuff around the farm. And it's a very, you're tired at the end of the day and you're carrying stuff and you're kind of weighed down. And then when you get into the sea, you're floating and there's no gravity and you're just, you're getting this lovely sense of getting to unwind and relax. And I think it's a good balance from all the physical work.
But also the mental toil. I mean, the mental health of farmers takes its toll. And I wonder, has the surfing allowed you to give yourself that mental and emotional balance that maybe if other farmers can't access a beach, is it, I guess, an inspiration in terms of finding that thing that is just far removed from the long farming day and all the pressures that come with it?
Yeah, you do need some vice to kind of reset things. Like, it doesn't have to be surfing at all. Like, it's jumping in a lake, or going for a cycle, whatever it is. But something just to, kind of unwind from. There's so many things that go on and in your head with farming and the complexities and looking at the weather, and there's so much stuff happening that you do need something just to kind of switch out off from it.
Mm. So you've 40 cows, you've got 800 hens, and obviously you're growing crops as well. So you like to diversify. You also diversify with the staff, because you have people who come and do internships. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I suppose I realized as well, coming back to farming, that I actually was quite lucky and privileged that I grew up on a farm, and it's kind of second nature to me just to do it, and it's not something that's strange. I've no qualification in farming. I just I kind of get my hands dirty and get stuck in. But to a lot of people, it's very daunting and they don't know where to start. And I think with all the world's challenges, be it climate change, environment, food, all these things, health, The farmer is the kind of the backbone of making these solutions a possibility. So I'm, trying to help any young people or anyone who wants to get into farming, because it's a very hard occupation to get into. And certainly in mixed farming and selling direct and, providing food to the local people, it's not something that you can kind of learn anywhere. So yeah, we take on people from start of April to the end of October. So it's a 7-month internship, and they basically run the farm with us for the season. It's a full on experience. It's not like going to college now. It's a real boot camp, hard work. And what we're teaching them is basically the realities of farming and what it feels like, and the ins and outs of everything, how to do it, markets, selling to restaurants, box schemes, all the things we do. And yeah, they get to learn it all. So then if they go to start and do it themselves, it's not such a daunting prospect. So that's the idea.
Do you think your kids will take over the farm from you?
I'd say they'll definitely be involved in the future. I don't know exactly how and when, but like we've structured the farm in a way that also that it's in a company. So it's not a classic, hand down the farm to the kids.
Mm.
The farm will run regardless if the kids want to farm or not. So they're not getting, it's not getting handed to them. So if they want a job at the farm, they're welcome to, find their place. But if they don't, the farm will continue. And I think that makes it a bit more of a healthy relationship to the farm. There's no pressure. But the big thing is, like, our farm would have 10, 12 people working there over the summer. Mm. So it's a very interesting, diverse mix of people. It's very positive. There's a lot of You know, there's a lot of good energy around the place, so the kids are drawn to that, and they really enjoy being around the farm because it's not just me slogging away. There's a real buzz of, you know, most people are in their mid-20s and they're full of life, and it's a nice place.
What you're producing is wonderful too. Anyone who's been in the Lahinch area or Ennis Diamond or anywhere around there has seen all your wonderful produce outside the shops and health food shops and vegetable shops and all that. So long may it continue. Well done on all your hard work. Moyhillfarm.com is the place to go if you want to learn about the farm or its internships if you fancy a life of farming and surfing. Fergal Smith, thanks so much for chatting to us today.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break, but coming up in the next hour, from The Little Mermaid to Aladdin, movies like these soundtracked many of our childhoods. It's on the way.